gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour. What? I'm in a sexy liberal sandwich already. What?
Steffi.
Oh. What's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes. Not since I was sandwiched between David Schuster and Richard Wolf yesterday. Have I been so excited? Jim Ward's here early.
Yay!
Me and Hal Sparks.
I can't tell you how excited I am to have early Jim.
It's Earth. Jim came early.
Yes. Which doesn't happen very often, actually.
No, and I always think it's because he loves me, and as it turns out...
He says no.
No, he has to leave early. He has early job.
Yes.
I have a voiceover gig.
Well,
and Hal Sparks is furiously trying to construct your thing for, you know, the Ustream. And as we know, you are a member of the anti-social media.
Yes.
You are resistant to every form of social media.
Yes. For those of you that out there in Twitterverse, I just opened a Twitter account for Jim Ward called Voice Deity Jim because he didn't have one and now he has one. So follow at Voice Deity Jim.
How do you spell deity?
Any way you want. D-E-I-T-Y. Okay.
Well, you gave him good advice. He hates social media, but you said,
be antisocial.
Right. Do you know how big you could get by being online?
Yeah, absolutely.
You could be huge, Jim.
Just be a big jerkwad,
yes.
And people will love you for it.
You care so little about it, you'll have a huge following
absolutely.
In no time.
Yeah, everybody, you know.
He'll be on Twitter going, screw you, stop following me.
Yeah, and they'll go, oh, my God, he's hilarious. He told me, he literally wrote me in an email to tell me to stop following him. He's doing an unfollow campaign. It's genius. I really mean it. He even says he really means it. Jim Ward is hysterical.
Oh, my God. Speaking of social media, check out sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal Facebook, sexyliberal Twitter. We are off to Asheville, North Carolina this Saturday. Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I. Let me update you.
Yes.
I have had very limited success talking my 87-year-old Republican mother out of going to the show.
Oh, boy.
She's coming to Asheville, but I was trying to... You know, Mom, it starts late, and, you know, we'll have dinner. Because I'm envisioning her conversation with you later.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear. Well, I certainly enjoyed the part where you put your in my daughter's face.
Right.
That was enjoyable.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Does she still like ladies? Did that fix her? Is there any way? Did it work?
She'll ask
is it a magic
same.
Trick?
She's so pretty. Why? And you're so cute.
Right.
Why?
Right. Okay.
What is wrong with her?
All right. Let's sit down and have a conversation.
Maybe if you could tell her she's pretty before you do that.
Some birds and
before
some bees.
Before you put your in her face on stage.
Right.
Maybe that would bring her around.
No.
And this is...
It's always better to ask forgiveness than permission.
Let's explain it later.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, also to update you, you've heard me talk about my mom's bird that masturbates to Fox News.
Yes.
Her car pickup time has officially been changed to better accommodate the masturbating bird schedule.
Of course.
This is a true story. This is a true story. Steffi, I don't want to have to feed Pretty Boy that early. Could you pick me up a little later? Because it might upset him.
Pretty Boy? I'm sorry. That's such a hack parrot name.
If I feed him and clean his cage too early. So, and I'm like, well, good. All right, good to know, Mom. More important than your daughter? Sure. What's the bird's schedule?
Yeah. by the way, since she watches nothing but, like, Glenn Beck.
Yes.
I don't know
actually what the bird is whacking off to now, because Glenn Beck, she was in mourning about that. Oh, I'm sorry. What I meant to say, rub one out.
Yes.
Sorry. Yes, you did.
I keep getting that wrong. I'm not sure what his new material is, because it used to be Glenn Beck, but
Maybe Gretchen Carlson. Maybe he's...
Oh, yeah. Maybe, well, of course, Brian Kilmeade or Steve Doocy at this point.
No, come on now. Come on.
We don't rule that out.
That's why he's called Pretty Boy.
I don't think the bird drinks.
Right, exactly.
The bird does not drink that much.
Change his name to Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Right.
Hey, by the way.
Then he stopped talking.
Hal Sparks and I, fellow happy clappy liberal, were just saying it was perfect after. Oh, the headline today, James Carville says we can cancel the panic alert.
Oh,
what Hal Sparks have been trying to.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Again.
It's okay.
It's, you know what
we're
it's
never
like?
Going to the cavern. Prince is going to cave on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's never going to happen. We're not going to. Okay, never mind. It's done.
Right.
All right.
every single policy? How many times do we have to go over this before there's some level of trust built? I get it that not everything is done, but at a certain point, we have no relationship, I think, at this point. There's a certain point where if I was the president and the left was my girlfriend, I would have to break up with her. Because how many times do I have to come home on time, you know, be a good guy? After, you know, I just have trust issues from the last four guys I went out with. You know, with Clinton and Bush Senior and Bush Junior and Reagan.
All right, now you're home exactly when you said.
Exactly, you said you were going to do that, and then you did. And you tried to get home, and traffic beat you. And the traffic, of course, in this equation is the Republicans. They just try to shut the road down so you can't be home on time. You're like, I was a little late, but I got here.
Have you ever gotten that when you were trying to do something for them? Well, I was out shopping to try to get you. Okay, never. Never mind. That's okay.
Yeah, it's like when you they hate the kind of flowers you bought.
All right.
Here's a good idea. Tell me the flowers you like more.
Hydrangeas.
Hydrangeas ever.
Never.
All right. So, yeah, it was very exciting. The celebration last night. Military, it was actually yesterday, 12:01.
Yes.
After midnight, right? It officially ended at midnight. And did you see the vlog? The guy calling his dad?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Bill Press is just playing that.
Yeah,
Dad, I'm gay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool.
No, that was the greatest, like, it gets better video ever. You've been dreading this your whole life. Your dad's like,
yeah,
okay.
Cool, whatever.
All right. Still love you, son. I mean, this poor guy was, like, you know, building up to a heart attack, and he finally calls him. He's like, all right.
His dad probably knew a long time ago.
It sounds like he didn't, but he didn't care. That's what was so great about it. It was so real. You can see the guy, like, waiting, and his dad's like, all right.
You know, I had a friend whose closet had a glass door, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And his mother, he really went to have this conversation. Okay, Mom, I need to tell you this. It's something very serious. And she goes, what? And he goes, I'm gay. She goes, okay, but what do you want to tell me?
That's great. Yay. Yeah, he's 21. He's the Air Force. An airman. Yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's entirely different than Air Force. Yes, airman. Mm-hmm.
That's
he was making an anonymous blog leading up to this whole coming out. Like, I got it. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And he posted the video of the call to his father to tell him he's gay. His father, I mean, literally, like a nanosecond pause and just said, I still love you, son. Doesn't change our relationship. Like, not even a pause, which was, it was just magical, I thought.
He probably had one of those countdown apps on his phone to, like, when my son is going to come out to me.
Yeah, all right. Can we get this on?
Well, do I have to call you at this point? Because I love you and I don't care.
My family was shocked, and I was like, really? Wow, are you stupid? No, I didn't say that. I was like, are you kidding? Seriously? They were all very loving and kind. I was shocked they weren't shocked is all I'm saying.
Right.
Well, you know how you're just like, I was just ambitious enough that, Steffi doesn't care about, she just cares about work. That's all.
I would like to say for the record that Jim, Voice Deity Jim on Twitter has 8 followers already.
Wow.
And
see?
Just announced
people
it.
That like abuse.
Just in literally, we started the account, whatever, 5 minutes.
Moments ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's 8 people I can ignore.
And you haven't even
forever,
said anything yet. and you're not going to.
We'll get many, many, acquire many, many more people.
I'm tweeting for you first, and all I'm writing is, ahem.
People like that aloofness. They like that.
Totally.
Chicks dig that, Jim.
They do.
Okay.
Leave me alone. That'll be his next one. Seriously.
I love all these stories. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Sean Hackbarth said first he can finally tell one of his male co-workers the real reason he wants him to stop making gay jokes. Conversations. Ixnay on the
buddy, I love you, but every time you do that crap, I want to pound your head flat. So now I get to tell you why and not have to have this. What's your problem? All I'm doing is gay jokes. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? I mean, we're lathering up. I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's the people that do the, black jokes because there's none of them here.
Right.
It's just us white people.
Right.
You remember, Jim, my notorious landlady in New York 1,000 years ago.
Right.
Frequently let fly with the N-words, and I was like, that's not okay. She's like, what?
What?
I don't get it.
Really?
What do you care?
When was this?
You're
this
not one of them.
A long time ago, but trust me, she's probably still doing it. It's, yeah.
She's not dead.
Yeah, I think she may be muerta at this point. That was quite some time ago. And she used to drink rye at 9 in the morning, so I'm just guessing.
Again.
One of my friends stopped by, and she goes, you know, Sibby plays basketball over there with the...
Really?
And I was like, what? She goes, what? What? It is basketball, right? I was like, that's not
the word. That bothered me.
Not that.
She's one of those people who would complain about political correctness now.
Yes.
Everybody's so politically correct. No, they just want you to stop using racial epithets. There's a difference.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Aisha Tyler dropped one in the Santa Fe Sexy Liberal Show, by the way, which that's the only... Okay, it's okay if you're... You see what I'm saying? And that'll be probably the first and last time that's dropped at a Sexy Liberal. That was...
I don't know. I think she can say it if she wants to.
I know. I was... It's hard to shock me.
See, I think, and my assistant came up with something that I think is brilliant, and I have to give her credit for this. She thinks the show should be called the Sexy Liberal Uncensored Tour because of what the letters spell.
Oh, you scam slut! Listen, I've tried to warn my mother. I'm like, Mom, it's...
Slut!
She's a
slut!
I said, Mom, it's...
Look at her! Slut!
It's not just liberal stuff. You know, like, it's filthy. It's really...
Since
Mom, seriously?
Since we're uncensored, because we're not, you know, that's the difference between the radio show and live. That's the huge difference. That's
I've told people it's the radio show without the FCC.
Right.
And people think that if your mom's there, you're going to have to clean up your language. I'm like, well, there goes my whole act.
Yeah, seriously.
That'll be... Here's my four
Might
seconds.
Might even have to be sober.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Don't be ridiculous.
And awake?
For God's sakes.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. She won't. This is not a show. This is just Steffi at home. This is why I don't watch MSNBC.
You know,
with
I don't
her.
Remember her skits being like this from Catholic school.
Mom, nobody uses the word skit anymore.
No, she still uses no matter what I do, it's a skit.
You're torn between skit?
I enjoyed your skit on Larry King.
Oh, God.
Yeah. All right. They are. They're all skits and sketches. Sketches. Something like that.
Huh?
19 minutes after the hour, right back, more Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. So let it get away.
Millions of people on Twitter waiting for Jim Ward to say something.
All right.
I'm pretty tired. I think I'll go home now.
All right. 24 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. How many does he have now? Hal, we just opened Jim's Twitter
like
account.
110 in a minute.
Jim hasn't said anything.
Nope.
Everyone's waiting with breathless anticipation.
How do I
like
sign
in? Forrest
I don't
Gump.
Even know. I just gave him his password.
What words of wisdom is Jim Ward going to impart to his millions of Twitter followers? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're joking, and tomorrow that'll be like the biggest story in
absolutely.
You know, business news.
Yeah.
Most Twitter followers ever in a day in the history of the internet.
Right.
Jim Ward, who said absolutely nothing so far. Hell, like you're on your computer anyway. Just say something. If you're looking at porn, just type something in there. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anyway. Talking about the overturn of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Captain, she was all over the TV yesterday. Captain Sarah Pizzot. I don't know if I'm saying that right yet.
I'm 31 years old. I'm a woman. I'm a United States Marine, and I'm a lesbian. Prior to today, if I had said that, I could expect to be discharged from the military.
God bless her.
Yes.
God bless her. If somebody said to me, here's a gun, time to go get shot at, I'd be like, oh, God, you know, I'd love to, but I have a thing with that gun.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that.
A wax on this thing.
You want me to what? Go fight for what? Freedom? Oh,
I'm sorry.
Good.
Both sides of home?
Freedom to keep my mouth shut and hide who I am?
Yeah.
You mean that?
Yeah, I know. One of the things in this story I love, too, it's the gay troops can stop playing the pronoun game, which many of us recognize. It makes someone become even not human. It, her, him, the person.
Yeah. My partner.
Her, him, it, the thing.
generic word to protect me from conversation. My partner and I. My partner.
How do I have a conversation completely free of pronouns?
Right.
How do I magically suck the pronouns out of this conversation?
Using partner, which is so like some of the Western or businessy.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Business.
That's my partner.
Mm-hmm. Howdy partner.
Yeah, howdy
partner.
Yeah.
You know, Jim and Chris know this, but my former long-term partner, we look very much alike, and so everyone, so do your sisters, and so we always just went yes, indeed. And then we would scramble behind the scenes, like, okay, where were we born, and whose family are we going with? Were we born in Buffalo or Israel? What is the story, and how many siblings do we have? If this conversation goes any further.
Yeah. I don't. It ended up being like Dolly Parton and Jane Fonda in the car in 9 to 5.
Yes.
Which one of you ate the poison?
I
did.
What?
She did.
What?
They're both sick. Right.
They're both sick. I'm a doctor. Piss off.
No, right. Why am I talking
to you?
Yeah,
when Lily Tama looks at the
badge,
I'm a doctor? I'm a doctor.
I'm a doctor. Why am I talking to you?
Anyway, a lot of the troops talking about having to show up at military barbecues and introducing a gay partner as roommate.
That's fine.
High school buddy or family friend.
Right.
Here's my fill in the euphemism.
A friend of mine who was in the military used to bring his partner's sister. She came in handy.
Oh,
yes.
Awesome.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Admiral Mike Mullen, the Joint Chiefs Chairman.
It's the right thing to do. It's done. We need to move on.
Yeah, hello. By the way, did you see the clip, Jim, of the old John McCain clip? It's not the policy. It's
not the policy. It's not the policy. Everybody hates it except lesbians outside the military who are forcing us on us. I don't understand.
I don't know who it was. I think
quack.
Penguin.
He is. He's the penguin from... John McCain is the penguin from the original... Yeah, the original
version. Who was it? I don't know if it was Rachel or somebody last night, but they played that old clip of McCain and then like had several soldiers on to go, yes, it was the policy.
Yeah, it was.
yes, they were actively searching my email. And,
they went after us.
I know the military. It's not the policy.
Right.
It's not the policy. No, it isn't.
Mm-hmm. All right. Senator Carl Levin yesterday.
First thing we're going to do is talk to the military as to what steps we now need to take to undo some of the wrongs which have been perpetrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Catherine in North Carolina on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Hey, Catherine.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
I just wanted to call just to relay something. My father worked in the military in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about this. He said that being gay during that time was not a problem. And thing is, it was never a problem. And the fact that it had to have gone as long as this whole thing, it should have never happened.
Right. Well, Kat, that's what we've been saying. I mean, people have known forever. I mean, it's like the gay people have served forever. I'm sure most people that serve with them knew. And
it has nothing to do with the people inside the military. This is 100% about social conservatives worried that if gay people have any sense of legitimacy, they have to explain it to their kids, and it makes them uncomfortable.
Yeah. We'll talk about some of the conservative comments thus far. Have black birds fallen from the sky yet since it's been repealed for a day?
Yeah, they're all new members of the Westboro Baptist Church.
Helmets on, just in case. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And odious
Stephanie Miller.
How dare you fill my head with such loathsome propaganda?
Take it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Representative Marcy Kaptur, Christine Romans of CNN, and much more coming up on the big show. Hump Days with Hal Sparks continues apace. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about the overturn of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Barney Frank said yesterday that the important thing about this date is 2 or 3 years from now, when none of the negative predictions come true about the impact of, I can't even remember now which right-wing whack job it was that said the black birds that died?
Yeah.
That had to do with, the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Sure, absolutely.
They died preemptively because this was back, I guess, even when they, birds, very keen watchers of cable news.
Mm.
So it was just when it was being discussed that Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Right, even the conversation about it killed birds. Once it actually happened, God's like, over it.
Well, we know from my mom's masturbating fox bird that birds are very sensitive to politics and to current events. And so,
sure.
They preemptively did a mass die-off knowing that it was being discussed, that it would be repealed today.
Well, also, the new Dancing with the Stars cast was announced about that time last night.
Sure, Chaz Bono.
I mean, before, that was a season ago.
Yeah.
So they were, panic. You know, that could have been it as much as anything else.
Sure. It was
Jersey Shore was going to Italy.
Yeah, Hitchcock movie.
That had been announced.
Hitchcock movie.
Anything could have killed those birds.
Or it was Harp.
Yeah. Huh?
Or it could have been Harp, and the fact that we've been messing with the ionosphere.
That Desperate Housewife was, guitarist from Journey. There was a lot of things going
on
that really upset the birds.
You know what? Each bird had a reason to off itself. Yeah. It was just a mass suicide where they all just sat on a wire one day and went, I don't know, I just can't deal with the fact that they've got like 9 Real Housewife shows on now. Mm-hmm. I don't know which one to watch, and the one next one going, you think that's bad?
Yeah.
They're going to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
And Suzanne Plachette's eyeballs fell out again. Right. It was
keeled over.
Has it ever occurred to them that the birds might be upset over all the crap that Pat Robertson has been saying lately?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mean, all right. What crap are you talking about, Chris? I mean, you mean the part where it's okay if your wife has Alzheimer's to divorce her, even though she's not dead? Because,
that's a loophole.
I mean, she's sort of dead.
It's kind of dead.
She's dead-ish. She's dead. So that's dead enough for me.
You might as well keep your organ out for Andrea Lafferty. Please and thank you. She's with the Traditional Values Coalition. Thanks.
And which traditional values are those?
Well, I'll
hate
explain.
And tolerance. Mm-hmm. Those ones.
What the ones that the right wing has traditionally had in this country. Yes. What the average person doesn't understand is that the president has attacked an institution that cannot defend itself. Meaning the military, because they don't have access to weapons of any kind, and so this is an attack.
Wait a minute. The military has no pushback against the civilian government? You're kidding, right?
We have these wonderful men and women serving this country, and these people have to keep their mouths shut, and they can't defend themselves from gays in the military. So you see, the main threat is from gays in the military, not the threats that people are attacking in America from out. It's the gays. They're like parasitic organisms, and they're eating the military from the inside in a really gay way.
P.S. This is the way, by the way, they fight all the time, which is the institution of your rights is a violation of mine because I want to feel icky about you, and now you're outlawing my icky feelings.
Yes.
They do realize that gays have been in the military since the days of Sparta, right?
What?
No.
Yeah. Really? My gay turn's never been very good.
They were all
really?
Tops,
those
so
shirtless guys.
They weren't really gay.
That's right. Sort of a Brazilian system.
Elaine Donnelly.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for asking. Center for she's with the center. This is regarding the Center for Military Readiness. She said the military is in peril. There is a lot of disruption that they really don't deserve. A burden has been placed on the military because of a promise the president made to LGBT activist groups.
Mm. Yeah, some of which were inside the military, because it's funny because that one quote from her almost sounded like she was defending gay members of the military.
Yes.
Like there are people who are forced into silence, and like
right.
Yeah.
Oh no, I don't mean them.
Yeah, right. You don't mean the people who are actually forced into silence. No. You mean the ones who, if they weren't silent, people would know that they were bigots, and therefore they would be marginalized because of their character.
I thought this is a great day to mention this piece in the New York Times, which I really could not love anymore. It's Science Stack.
Yay!
I don't mean to blind you. I'm just saying. I think because I've said this, homosexuality. Yes, exists in every species. Homophobia only in ours. And the New York Times story for deep sea squid. Same-sex sex is only half the story. There is a new paper on same-sex squid.
What?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, this is just a sexy story. A 5.5-inch deep-sea squid. Hello. Hello, sailor. That lives a solitary life up to... Yeah, you got a lot of chances there.
Oh, just beak-on-beak action. That's just terrible, where they intertwine their tentacles.
Look,
that is
if you say it's 5.5 inches,
God.
I'll believe you. Lives a, let me give me some science
so
music. I don't know, some high school educational film.
Right.
What's that, Jim?
Nothing, never mind.
Mm. I said that's what he did, too. He said that's why they squirt ink. Why don't you just Twitter that? If you can't say it on the show, just Twitter it.
Yeah.
At Voice Deity Jim on Twitter.
Start thinking of the lemon wedge and the cocktail sauce jokes, all right? Okay. Let's see. So they live a solitary life up to half a mile down in the dark waters of the Pacific Ocean is the latest addition to the hundreds of species that are known to engage in same-sex sex. Over the years, scientists have added one creature after another to the list. It is gayed up, this list, at this point.
It's right up there with the number of planets that are habitable, that are in the universe, that science is also discovering. No wonder.
Are you making a black hole joke? What are you doing?
No, I'm just saying that's why religious types are panicking right now, because all the science that's very gaudy that they they relied on is now collapsing.
We're the only livable planet in the universe.
We're God's special creation.
Exactly. Right? Oh, wait, there's like 65. We've discovered 50 new planets in the last 6 months.
God, I'd love to know what Pat Robertson thinks about same sex.
He's too busy counting his money from his shampoo he sells in Africa under the guise of bringing in aid.
Over the years, scientists have added one creature after another to the list, making it clear that although nature may abhor a vacuum, it seems to be fine with just about everything else.
Yummy.
This is in the New York Times. Male squid, for example, pay no attention to the sex of other squid. Understandably
so. Can you really tell them apart?
Well,
I don't want to be... Hello. Look. They're squid.
And they live alone in the dark. Males and females are hard to tell apart.
Yeah. It's like 7 minutes of heaven, in a closet at a certain point. You're like, I don't know who they put me in here with. This is not fair. I'm just going on perfume at this point.
Tentacles are tentacles. They all feel the same. I can't feel the difference. I don't...
Right.
Far
it's
better
like the
to
stranger.
Risk...
Did they ever sit on one of their tentacles? Sorry. Go ahead.
Farvin? I have to read this one to you, Hal, but the New York Times says, far better to risk wasting a few million sperm than to miss out on a chance to reproduce. Listen, Hal Sparks lives his life by...
I'm just saying...
Men, not...
He's a beautiful child.
Historically stingy with the sperm. Yeah. You don't mind wasting a little bit here and there.
We can't afford to. It makes us grumpy. Another scientific discovery.
It's like potato chips. You'll make more.
Right, exactly.
All right, I wasted a few million. All right.
Yeah, you guys have to protect your
eggs. It was a dude squid. Whatever.
I only got a few of these, and I got to dole them out to a precious few.
Can I warn you, this story gets better.
Oh, good. All right.
We'll get to that. In some insect species, males engage in traumatic insemination, which is just what it sounds like.
Oh, I've been there. Who
hasn't been there once
before? Yeah, you simulated that on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
You've been there, Stephanie?
Of course she has. All
traumatic insemination, which is just what sounds like a... I'm sorry, everyone that's sex with me is traumatized?
Yeah, no, is that... It,
you know, that
traumatic
is so true that I hate you. No,
right.
That is,
For somebody, on one side or the other... This is not working
out.
Okay,
so insects engage in traumatic insemination of other males and females alike. Among mammals, bottlenose dolphins and bonobos engage in lots of different kinds of sex. Male dolphins pursue sex with males and females equally, but the females show a preference for males. Jim, this is like your Squeezy McFeel pants come true. They're all lezzes, but they're just acting like it for the man. Bonobos pair off in all combinations and very often.
Sure. And that's, they find like a tree full of fruit, they go have a big orgy.
Right.
Take the edge off so they don't...
Sure.
Whereas
overpopulated
chimps will start, tearing each other's faces off, to keep the other guy from getting all the good fruit. So,
if you know what I'm saying.
But bonobos are they're the hippies of the...
Lacen albatrosses, which already sounds scary, form a long-term female-female pair bonds, but for them, the point is raising chicks, not sex. If one female can arrange a quick liaison with a male from another pair, then the two females tend the young. See, they find the David Crosby albatross, and then they just trick them, and then they never had any intention of... crafty, those albatross.
Of checking to see if he'd done tons of drugs during the 60s. How about you pick a father just randomly out of a hat? Hey, how about you? You look a little confused.
Let's get to the good squid sex facts. For sheer amazement, the mating behavior of the squid has to rank near the top, though. Boy, howdy. It's all detailed in a new scientific paper entitled A Shot in the Dark, Same-Sex Sexual Behavior in Deep Sea Squid.
A shot in the dark?
Wow.
Really? They went there?
Well, here's what happens. The male ejaculates a packet of sperm at the mating partner, and the packet turns inside out. This is awesome. The packet turns inside out, essentially shooting the sperm contained in a membrane into the flesh of the partner, where they stay embedded until the female, if the shooter's been lucky, is ready to fertilize its eggs. If the males are the recipient of these rocket sperm, this story in
it's
a
like
packet.
Velcro sperm.
They're just stuck with them. It's the kind of... It's the kind of...
That's what it sounds like. That's, that's from National Geographic. poor squid.
In a packet. It's like my emergency. It's awesome. It comes in a packet. Inside out. It's the kind of mating behavior that would make a good video game. Angry squid.
Angry
you would
squid?
Love this squid.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Come on.
And horny squid.
Yeah.
Dr. Hoving, who is leaving for research at sea. That's the card you want to slip and check in a bar. What do you do? I document squid's shots in the ocean. Yeah. And what do?
In the dark.
In the dark.
By the way, where apparently the squid are quite indiscriminate about who they will latch onto and inseminate. Therefore, I have to applaud these scientists for having the bravery to go down into that dark water.
That's right. Hello.
With four dangly limbs.
What's wrong with
easily
your eye?
Right.
Anybody have some Visine?
Oh.
Pretty.
Dude, that's
Dr.
a packet.
Dr. Hoving, who is leaving for research at sea around time a publication type for his paper, was prepared for attention to the same-sex behavior, was ready for people to conflate squid and human behavior and announce the discovery of gay squid. He fended off that notion, reiterating the squid has no discernible sexual orientation, that a tentacled invertebrate that shoots sperm into its mate's flesh really has nothing to do with human behavior. Mm.
Well.
All right. Well, you've never been to Rage on a Saturday
night. Yeah, right.
The animal is not making
Jersey Shore. Yeah.
He says the animal is not making a mistake. It is not a mistake to deposit sperm with another male because somehow the behavior works, or natural selection would have eradicated the behavior or the squid, and we still have squid. And so ends the same-sex squid story.
I don't know. Calamari just doesn't appeal to me much anymore after that.
Yeah, they don't ever say my bad. It wasn't a mistake. It's you know.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I'll pay for the dry cleaning.
All this does for social conservatives is give them another reason to enact dominion over animals.
Yeah, there
you know
what
I mean?
To control
dominion,
the gay behavior.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, the reason we're supposed to kill and eat these things is because that's how you get rid of the gay ones.
I would.
That's a God's way of getting rid of the gay ones is makes them tasty. Yeah, you are what you
I
eat,
would
dude.
Like to go
stop it!
To an underwater same-sex squid marriage someday. That's
calamari.
What I would like.
Turns out calamari is Italian for sperm packet.
Yeah, nice. I didn't know that. Oh, I just picture it like a little animated Disney film.
Oh.
All right.
Finding packet. Ew. That was a good conversation. I'm so glad we went there.
All right, 47 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere, now even from your iPad, with GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on that there. Try a free button. Type in the promo code 70. We're in the midst of hump days with the house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you heard me. House Parks.
Yeah.
Sexy liberal himself. We will be in Asheville, North Carolina this Saturday, along with John Fugelsang. Very exciting to meet my Republican mother. Okay.
Oh, I'm excited. Mm. I think I can bring her around.
Mm.
Oh, boy.
Good luck. Oh, all right. Good luck with that. Let's dive into the right-wing world. My mother lives. It's on the... Oh, gosh. Is the class warfare talking point still active?
Yep.
Oh, heavens. Okay, Peter Johnson.
Easy. What are you, a bunch of squid?
What we're seeing now is a clear strategy by the president. Two things. Divide and conquer.
Looks like it.
And anger the middle.
Yep.
Say to the middle of America, listen, you don't have a job, but aha, at the same time, these millionaires are not paying their fair share.
Right.
And so it's the grand distraction. Mm. You don't have a job, but you're angrier.
Mm.
And when you're angrier, you say, president is making sense. The Republicans are calling it class warfare. I guess that's a great name for it.
Well, I guess so, because the Republicans say so.
I'll pretend to not be on the team.
Yeah.
You know, I love the tinge of panic in their voice, don't you? Because clearly you look at every poll. The people agree with the president on these issues. And it's
because they're angry.
Yeah.
Because they don't have jobs, sister. Look, rich people. Rich people, so you should be angry.
4% rise in their taxes. 4%. They view that as war. That you want to say. Yeah. Meanwhile, the fact that Warren Buffett's coming out and saying, "Look, I pay a 15% tax rate, and my secretary pays close to 30%.
Right.
That's not cool."
Yeah.
And that's.
By the way, you haven't been here. How awesome the president's speech! How awesome the plan!
Yeah, totally.
I love
you know my favorite part? $1.1 trillion in savings from phasing out the Iraq and Afghanistan wars.
Hello.
Put it into a
there.
Bill and make it happen. Mm-hmm. That's right. I'm instituting a deficit reduction plan that involves getting rid of these two wars.
Yeah, and the Republicans call that phantom savings. Huh?
What?
Because that's money.
What?
That is money that we would have sort of spent, but we're not going to spend it
anyway. Have not have.
Jim, it's your crush. It's the tiny dancer of deception, mm-hmm. Dana Perino on Fox and Friends.
Good morning. Today is Tuesday, September 20th. I'm Dana Perino in for Gretchen Carlson.
Oh, heaven.
President Obama throwing compromise out the window. He'll try confrontation instead.
This is not class warfare. It's math.
Yes.
That's confrontation.
But the math doesn't exactly add up.
Really? Did she go on to explain how, Chris?
No,
how
of course not.
No, that was a tease.
Don't be ridiculous.
Math doesn't add up. Get it?
Got it. Because
whatever, some pinhead economists say it's going to add almost 2 million jobs, so.
What did they know?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, it's going to.
I think this is all about how much Bill O'Reilly's going to have to pay in taxes. I think.
Here's the unintended consequence of Mr. Obama's revenue-enhancing plan. If you tax achievement, some of the achievers are going to pack it in.
Oh, sure.
Again, let's take me.
Okay. Bye-bye.
My corporations
Bye-bye.
Employ scores of people. They depend on me to do what I do, so they can make a nice salary.
But if you have to pay
taxes. If Barack Obama begins taxing me more than 50%, which is very possible.
What?
I don't know how much longer I'm going to do this.
Oh, no.
Like my job. That's but there comes a point
tragic.
When taxation becomes
what?
Oppressive.
All right.
Oh,
see ya.
No.
What?
You
know what
no, Bill. Don't. What? Does he think anyone really gives a...
I've decided to tax Bill O'Reilly at exactly 49%.
Yeah.
Exactly the number that will get you to quit?
Right, let's
I'm down
do
with
it.
That.
I don't know.
Let's
and, how, do it. And can we target it just to certain broadcasters with a history of sexual harassment?
Yeah, and you know what? Yeah. Let's do it live. I say we do it live. Let's do whatever tax rate it takes for you to skedaddle, and we'll just we'll do it live.
Right. You hope.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Things suck.
And as Lawrence O'Donnell said last night, the president has nothing to do with raising Bill O'Reilly's tax rate.
Nope.
That's Congress.
Yeah.
So Bill O'Reilly is creating the straw argument here.
Have you noticed that he has a bit of an ego? He said yesterday, I have more power than anybody other than the president.
Mm-hmm.
I can get things changed quickly. I don't have to go through the legislative process. I don't have to do any of that. I can just bring it to the people and say, look, this has got to be dealt with.
As long as there's no scrutiny.
Wow.
Unlike the president or Congress, people actually have to look at stuff I write down. I'll just have to sit here in this chair and read whatever Roger Ailes memo they mail down to the showroom and then go home and spend more of the money that I make being a parrot for things I don't actually
and
believe.
And wonder whose house my wife is at.
Right.
I wonder if Bill O'Reilly's wife is the guitarist from Journey. Is that possible?
Could be.
Wouldn't surprise me.
It's curious. Okay, Rush Limbaugh.
Speaker Boehner said not a word about cutting education. Although, were I in charge, it would be one of the first places we cut.
Oh, perfect.
Everybody says, well, where are you going to cut, Rush? If we're crying out loud, entitlements are entitlements. You can't cut entitlements. Where are you going to cut, Rush? Education.
Sure. Being dumb worked for me. I'm super rich. Maybe if we make more dumb people, then they'll be super rich by accident.
Dumb enough to listen to me and vote for Rick Perry.
Yeah,
fall
into a barrel of boobs and wake up one day rich and with partially deaf from their drug use and busted for carrying Viagra into a place known for underage
sex
tourism.
I'm stuck in the barrel of boobs. All right, 58 after the hour. Representative Marcy Kaptur next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. It is Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Mm-hmm. 6 minutes after the hour, we are you streaming on HalSparks.com and StephanieMiller.com.
It's true.
Check out SexyLiberal.com for all our upcoming dates. We will be in Asheville, North Carolina this Saturday, along with my 87-year-old Republican mom. Okay. Awkward.
And Pretty Boy.
No, Pretty Boy the Lovebird will be home in Charlotte.
Pretty Boy.
My mom will just be the one sitting next to somebody going, I'm so sorry. We did not raise her
this show
way.
Sucks.
She'll bring the bird to heckle me.
Yeah.
And she'll just be apologizing to everybody as they leave the theater. I'm so sorry.
Polly wants class warfare.
We don't know.
Polly wants class warfare.
All right. So we have lots to get to. Christine Romans from CNN coming up in less than half an hour. Representative Marcy Kaptur from the great state of Ohio joins us now. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. We've been talking about the what I thought was not just a great speech, but a great plan by the president. What is your reaction to his speech?
My reaction was very positive. I thought he was feisty, and he wants to take this cause to the country, and I think that is what is going to be required.
Well, you know, and thus far as we've been talking about, it doesn't take a genius. You look at every poll, and people largely agree with the president on these issues. So, how does this? I guess the bottom line is, does this play out differently than these other fights have? What do you think?
Well, you know, there's just a lot of commotion up here in the Congress, sadly. And one side of the aisle doesn't want to cooperate; they don't even want to meet many times. But the president's focus is on job creation. It's on living within our means, and I think he's presented a very credible plan with which to do that. Yesterday I was over in Solon, Ohio, in the Cuyahoga, Cleveland area, at a company called Raptite with the vice president, and it was a small business. They had gotten a guarantee from the Small Business Administration. They employ about 24 people, and they'd been able to hire 5 more. It's a growing company, despite the bad economy. And the president is looking for investment and incentives to small business, because if you add up those numbers across our country with hundreds of thousands of small business, if each would hire 5, we wouldn't have any unemployment in the country. So I think he's really looking at targeting incentives to small business. And also, I was very impressed, I might say, and I talked to the president about this when he was in Toledo recently, hiring our returning veterans. And he has a provision in the bill to for our returning heroes in the form of a tax credit for hiring veterans. Ohio alone has 52,000 mm-hmm. returning veterans who have no work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, as the president, one of my obviously everybody's favorite line is it's not class warfare, it's math. You know, you look at whether it's Moody's or any other top economists, you know, they say close to 2 million jobs this is going to add. And I you know, when you keep hearing just this talking point over and over again from the right wing, this is class warfare, it's class warfare, it's class war, you know, I think as Warren Buffett said, you know, well, it is class warfare, my class is winning. I mean,
well, you know, he was an honest man. He basically said that no household earning over $1 million should pay a smaller share of its income taxes than middle-class families pay.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had millionaires from my own region come up to me and say, you know what, Marcy, when people earn over $1 million like I do, we can do better. And we know that about, 22,000 millionaires pay less than 15% of their income in taxes, and 1,500 millionaires paid no taxes.
Yeah.
In 2009. So, you know, they're not even paying at the rate of the ordinary person. 35%, the top 400 richest people paid only 18% of their income in income taxes. And, you know, they can afford to do a little more. They don't even miss it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Bill Clinton said that the other day, didn't he? That, you know, it's sort of, it's an insult to people that would be happy to pay more in a country they've done so well in, right?
Well, for me, it's patriotic. This is a moment. We got Marines coming home in boxes. We've got soldiers coming home with no limbs. The people who have benefited by using their talents to become wealthy in our society. This is a time for patriotic capitalism. This is a time to help the country pay its bills at the same time as we create jobs.
Congresswoman Kaptur, I don't know if you happened to see, speaking to Bill Clinton when he was on Meet the Press, and I just thought he was such a perfect, like, human example. I mean, he talks so clearly about these things because he basically just said, we're just talking about going back to the rates when I was president, mm-hmm. you know, and when we had, you know, unheralded prosperity. I mean, it just, it seems so clear to me that the policies that got us here did not work. And I just, for the life of me, I can't understand how you can make an argument that we have to go back to those policies. Or, you know, go ahead.
Well, he gave the country, along with the Congress that was seated back then, a balanced budget. And we were actually paying down the long-term debt. I was a part of a coalition that made that happen here in the Congress. Then, of course, we had a decade of abandon where nothing was paid for, including the wars that we are still conducting and trying to wind down. There are huge bills for that. And then with the crash of the markets, the bills put on the American people's back. Bush did that in 2008. Not paid for, and President Obama inherited all of that. I just was meeting with bankers and credit union people in my office, and they were telling me that their car loans are picking up, they're doing some home equity financing, they're seeing, and this is in the Midwest, you know, where things have been really rough, you know, they're seeing a little bit of pickup. We have to keep our shoulder to the wheel and keep this economy growing, and the president's proposal takes us in that direction.
Well, I mean, obviously you've heard the politics of it. Everybody saying there's no way this is going to pass. It's not going to pass. I mean, but what happens, as you say, if the president keeps taking this to the people as effectively as he's doing and the polls are where they are? I mean, is it at least going to move this debt commission to the left, do you think?
I think that the president has to take his case to the public because there are some people here in Washington that just want to play politics with next year's election. Elections are about politics, but they're also about governance. And good politics is good government. And if the president can't get some of these people to meet here in Washington, then he has to take his case to the public so that the pressure is on them to sit down and do what they were hired to do, and that is to govern the nation, not to play politics with it.
Representative Kaptur, one of the issues I think that we deal with this the deficit and the sort of the complaint about the deficit is in an example, World War II, there was this shared sacrifice concept around the idea that we're going to war, so everybody needs to knuckle down. It was actually a big there was a big PR push, going into it in that regard. Whereas the Iraq War was basically played for with emergency supplementals and on credit cards essentially, and everybody could pretend that that's not what these bills are about. Even the deficit argument seemed to be like, you know, we need to cut spending to deal with this. The spending that was done, what we're paying for, this debt, was accrued during the Bush administration, especially for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, a huge chunk of this. Is there a congressional answer to that in many ways? Is there a push from Congress saying, you know, backing what the president is saying, you know, sort of coming to his defense, going, the deficit is about the money we spent in Iraq, and we need, those are bills we have to pay.
You know, you don't hear enough of that. Mm-hmm. The truth is, if we look at the major components of the increase in the debt, obviously there's over $1 trillion unpaid for that was financed for the wars. You are correct.
Yeah, and how is that phantom savings, by the way, as the Republicans keep saying? Explain mm-hmm. that to us.
I can't explain how some of those
okay.
folks think. But then there's $4 trillion that relates to the Bush tax program, also unpaid for, and it didn't create jobs.
Right.
And the month he left, there were over 720,000 jobs lost. So there's $4 trillion on the deficit related to that. And then there's $4 trillion that's due to the Wall Street meltdown, the cost of unemployment, the fact that they put all their dirty laundry on the backs of the taxpayers of the United States. So you're talking $9 trillion right there. Mm-hmm. That's locked in, that was due to what happened before.
Right.
So what the president has to do is negotiate a very thin channel here and keep the economy growing while he tries to put a program in place to pay down past bills.
Right.
You know, your problem is, and the president's, you're too good at math. And the Republicans were those students that said, we'll never need this later in life. Why do we have to learn this?
Yeah.
But good luck in the trenches, and thanks for checking in with us always. Representative Marcy Kaptur, the great state of Ohio. Thanks so much, Congresswoman.
Thank you very much.
All
it's
right.
a pleasure.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's... that's been sort of the running issue of this, and they were able to get away with it during a lot of the deficit talk, about raising the debt ceiling.
Yeah.
Was that this,
nothing they say makes any sense. In fact, let's finish Right Wing World with something from Glenn Beck.
Which, speaking of
Jim,
people
I can
who
predict
make no
ahead
sense.
Of time that you're going to say what after this soundbite.
Of course, we have the president, starting, starting. I think race problems stirring the pot. Class problems stirring the pot.
No.
People like Barack Obama, George Soros, and the Kennedys have trapped people now, or are really trying to build a steel cage so nobody can go and build any of those hospitals.
Was hat er gesagt?
See, did I tell you?
Huh?
Quatsch.
I don't know exactly.
Word salad.
And
word
Soros
salad. Tossed for your pleasure with the dressing of your choice. It's Glenn Beck's word salad. Seriously, okay. Like he's just, at this point, he's
can
just
I
throwing.
Have some fascist croutons with my word salad?
Yes, you can. They're crunchy. They're just, at this point, he's just throwing in all the uncomfortable words he can,
yeah,
and just putting them in a big just shaking
it up.
Like,
yeah.
It's like a smoothie of nonsense.
Thank you, Homer. It's a smoothie of nonsense.
That's what Glenn Beck makes now. They kind
of it's a jamba juice of crazy.
Totally. If you like the flavor, you won't care what's in
what's
it.
What's in it? It's, I don't
right?
know. It's
like,
good for you.
Raspberry. Like, yeah, that's all raspberry right. hate. I don't care. That's raspberry bigotry and insanity. I don't know.
Oh, speaking of bigotry, here comes
like
some
Nazis.
More.
Yeah, right. Nazi-ish.
Dr. Keith Ablo.
Uh-huh.
On O'Reilly.
Is that
on
what you do?
Dancing.
Right.
Stars.
Well, Mr. Bono is doing more than dancing. He's on a campaign to mainstream transgenderism.
Oh, boy.
And I have to care more about America's kids as much as I do about my own kids. Mm-hmm. And so here's the thing. We know, Bill, people model their behavior after one another.
Uh-oh.
We wouldn't invite people with anorexia to go on fashion shows and talk about how wonderful they feel now that they're thinner and how they want more liposuction.
Mm.
This is an exact parallel. We have somebody who is not a man asserting that he is a man.
Mm.
And the bottom line is that this can kindle people who are having trouble with their identities,
nice.
Adolescents, tomboys, boys who are effeminate, into thinking, you know what?
Oh,
maybe I'm not just those things.
Oh, boy.
Maybe I should go the whole way.
Mm. Has there been a rash of surgery since Dancing with the Stars?
That's what it did, yeah.
Kids have rushed out and gotten surgery immediately.
I'm just going to say.
That's even worse than.
Humanizes homosexuals.
I mean, it's even worse than that. You're normalizing transgenderism.
Yeah, there's going to be these stampedes of teenagers waiting to lop their junk off at
yes.
every hospital.
Yes.
Open this place up. I need to be a
you
woman
no
by
one.
Three.
Between Chaz Bono and Don't Ask, Don't Tell, you don't know how many birds have died.
Yeah.
How many kids have lopped their junk off,
mister?
Yeah. You don't
maybe
even know
these,
what you're talking about.
Maybe these birds tried midair sex changes, and
I
that's why they fell out of the air, because you can't focus on your wings.
Yeah.
You know,
they probably started to lop it off on power lines themselves just because they caught a glimpse of Chaz Bono.
It's amazing how panicked this guy
is.
And I love that's one of my favorite things. But I care as much about the kids of America as I do about my own kids. No, you don't. Or you'd be on TV screaming about the level of poverty and the fact that there are, you know, up to 7 million children going hungry every night before they go to bed. That's a way bigger problem than sexual identity, you big jerk.
What?
So you don't care at all about America's children. You are selling books, tapes, CDs, and speeches to bigots because they have deep pockets.
Whatever, socialist. All right, 20 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Hump Days with Hal Sparks
knob.
On
yeah.
the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Hump Days with Hal Sparks. I like having my fellow Happy Clappy here on days when there are hysterical headlines like, has Obama lost the Jewish vote? Oh, no. He's apparently, it's already over. He's already lost the 2012
right.
Jewish vote.
Yeah, because he's right now at the UN arguing that they shouldn't have a Palestinian statehood vote so that it can be done through negotiations with Israel
right.
and in a more complete way instead of giving Abbas a win.
What a bastard.
Having, yeah. What, it's so anti-Israel. I can't get it. Maybe that's why he keeps getting all these letters from Israel going, we have had no greater partner than,
yes, exactly.
than Barack Obama.
Well, and, of course, Rick Perry, I love the Politico headline, Perry's Israel policy yet to win converts. Yeah, because it does. First of all, he's to the right of Netanyahu. On Israel, like, it's so blatant that he's trying to...
He's the,
trying
to the right of Moses on yeah. Israel. Like, Rick Perry's entire... he's got the same Sarah Palin evangelical point, which is we need to get all the... We need to protect Israel so that Jews have a safe place to go so that when Armageddon happens, they can have their throat slits if they don't convert.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, that's how they really believe it. It's a total misreading of the Bible, but they're up in that... and it's junk like crazy.
The political... He says, at best, Perry has had a minimalist relationship with national Jewish groups, multiple sources said, until he began meeting with top Jewish leaders over the past week. His outreach had barely gone beyond the Texas borders. It's like, yeah. I mean, it's just, it's so blatant that, you know, he's trying to use what's going on now, which, as you said, it's a sticky situation, but it's just...
Yeah, well, that's why Obama's actually at the UN. He was just saying, you know, we have to... recognize that peace is hard and takes time. It can't just be done with a vote. And sometimes those kind of things can trigger more animosity and more conflict.
Rick Perry denounced the president's Israel policy as misguided and dangerous.
Even though he doesn't understand.
He accused him of appeasement, as did Michelle Bachmann.
Appeasing who?
Romney accused Obama of throwing Israel under the bus.
He's making the argument for why Palestinian statehood should be done through negotiations with Israel and through instead of just a UN
vote. He's there live now.
As a Kenyan Muslim will do.
Yeah. Yes.
Respect for the rights of women and minorities. Justice that is equal and fair.
Stop throwing Israel under the bus.
That is what our people deserve. Those are the elements of peace that can last. Moreover, the United States will continue to support those nations that transition to democracy with greater trade and investment so that freedom is followed by opportunity. We will pursue a deeper engagement with governments, but also with civil society, students and entrepreneurs, political parties and the press. We have banned those who abuse human rights from traveling to our country. And we sanction those who trample on human rights abroad. And we will always serve as a voice for those who've been silenced.
All right. Mm-hmm. Isn't his policy essentially the same as George W. Bush and Clinton's before?
Except for it's more than just words. There's actual action going on.
I don't know. It sounds kind of Kenyan and Muslim-y to me.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour. Christine Romans, the smart one from CNN, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I can't do this anymore. I'm a good girl. I went to Catholic school.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. If you've read Smart is the New Rich, you know that Christine Romans is the smart one. I don't think we need to tell you. If you watch CNN, you know she's the smart one. Here she is now, Christine Romans of CNN. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning. I don't know how smart I am trying to decipher what's going on in politics, actually, at the moment. I think that all the brains in the world is not getting you very far these days.
Yeah, I don't. I know. I'm watching you, and you said, I think this was Monday, any serious budget expert's analysis concludes that taxes must increase. Why can't Republicans get math? I don't understand.
Because, you know what, there's serious budget experts and there's politics and they're completely different things now. And it's been a very depressing week, actually, because, you know, a lot of what's been happening, and some people even say, including the president's proposal, it's all been politics. It's playing to bases. It's not actually trying to solve our problems. That's, I mean, that's why you've got budget experts pulling their hair out and saying it's like Groundhog Day. You feel like you've got some progress. And here's the real problem, is that we have to show that we're serious enough about budget cutting and raising revenue to show we're serious, but we can't do it so much that we hurt ourselves.
Well,
and
see,
that's a fine line that no one thinks Washington can do.
Well, yeah. I can testify that you don't play politics because I continually try to drag you into a partisan mud pit. But this is what's frustrating, is that, you know, it's not just a great political line, right, what the president said. This isn't class warfare. It's math. I mean, this is what, like, as you say, economists are saying.
But you know what? It's math. But, you know, I'll tell you this about the math of taxes. It's not simple, no matter how you look at it. This is why so many people hire somebody to do their taxes. Do you hire somebody to do your taxes?
Oh, God, yes.
Because it's not simple. I mean, you can cut those numbers 1,000 different ways. For example, the top 1% the top 1% provides 95% of the income tax revenue into the government. So that's one side of it. The other side of it is, however, that millionaires pay like 21% effective tax rate, mm-hmm. which is, you know, not among the highest tax rates. So there's 1,000 ways to look at it and ammunition for everybody.
That's true. The lower 20% can afford essentially no taxes at all.
Right. And also many get money back. We use the tax code to take money and redistribute it. I mean, and I'm not saying I'm not saying that's a dirty word. I'm just saying that's the way it is. And there are people who get money back from the tax code. It's just the way it is.
That's how a lot of the big corporations actually end up not only paying no taxes, but actually got more of a benefit, ended up getting checks from the government from other people to, you know, under the auspice of, well, they're starting business. As opposed to just getting
tax. There are so many loopholes.
I mean,
we have so many loopholes, but meaningful tax reform, which is what everybody wants, is we're not any closer to any meaningful tax reform. I mean, we're just putting little band-aids on the whole thing.
Hal Sparks can testify. I do actually have a paper calendar. I don't even own a calculator. So when you ask, does someone do my taxes, I actually do the long, you know, the multiplying when I'm trying to figure things out, like you used to do in grade school.
Right.
So
she draws the little division.
And I carry the number up above. Yeah. I do the long application.
He's got an abacus hanging from his rearview mirror.
It's true.
Yes, sure. So let me quote.
Abacus app.
But let me quote you to you. You said the other day on CNN, what's wrong with raising taxes for that crowd so they're paying the same on their overall income tax as a middle-class family? I mean, what's wrong with raising taxes on just that sliver of the rich?
What's wrong with it? Well, look, here's the bottom line. I have reported this and said this for maybe 10 years, that in the long run, taxes go up for everyone, government services go down for everyone, and we have to start rethinking what government means to us and what we expect from our government. But no one in Washington is making, like, the tough choices or there's no adult conversation about it. It all comes down to politics and looking out 13 or 14 months ahead, and that's maddening.
I will disagree with you that no one is. Because I think there are certainly voices of people out there who are doing it. And
right.
I think the president's desire to start, for example, an infrastructure bank is a seismic shift in how we handle infrastructure paying and moving it away from the earmarking process towards an investment
base. But you've got Mitch McConnell, who has a bridge that has been closed in his district that is against infrastructure spending, because the president's for it, Christine. I mean, how do you get anything done in this political environment?
Well, here's the other thing is the president's speech this week was, you know, I look at this and say, okay, and I start analyzing all the different pieces of it and what would it mean. And then the political people tell me, well, this is the marker. The president has put his marker down and we don't know what it's going to look like in the end. And so budget experts and, you know, just, you know, mild-mannered, middle-of-the-road money reporters like me, we go, oh, so this isn't what it's going to look like. Oh, okay, so now we're waiting again? Okay, well, when are we going to get this all settled again?
Sure.
We don't
but that's
have
even,
much time.
That's even true with people's home bills, because on the one hand, your mortgage is steady as a payment for the most part, but your phone bill goes up and down. Your electrical bill goes up and down. And so you can say, let's budget for the month. This is my budget for the thing. And then you get some other bills that come in that are either higher or lower, and there are shifts that are possible to be made or necessary to be made. And so I think there's no reason to expect that on a huge, massive scale that a similar expansion or contraction is possible. Oh, we have money left over. Let's buy better food this month. And in the doing that in government would be the equivalent of improving food programs and the like.
So if you believe the premise that everyone's taxes go up. Everyone's services go down. Government, we have to learn how to live with a different kind of government, because we do live beyond our means. We can't afford the life we have in this country, and you hope that the economy grows very, very strongly to make the pain very, you know, to make it not as painful to do this. So if you believe in that premise, then the question is, what kind of government is it? What kind of priorities are we going to have? And do we trust the people who are making these decisions? To wit, the $16 muffin that the Justice Department paid for. Have you guys heard the story?
No.
Not surprising.
It's an audit that shows the Department of Justice put on, I don't know, all of these different conferences around the country and paid $16 for a muffin, $8 for a cup of coffee, $32 for a package of Cracker Jacks, you know, thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars to out-of-town event planners. I mean, it's been a fortune. I mean, it's like government waste run amok. It's a story that just shows you that nothing has changed. I mean, since the toilet seat,
the Hammer story ended up being a way that they shuffled around black op money and stuff that was off the books. Those toilet seats didn't cost that much. They used that space to hide it like the mafia did.
I don't know. I was in Brownies at the time, so I can't quite remember. I wasn't reporting aggressively that story. I was doing my flyover at from Brownies to Girl Scouts. But you know,
Christine, what? First of all, I have to get the smart person answer, because Jim, what about once a week we get a flat tax caller guy? What's wrong with just a flat tax for everybody?
I know. I think all of the lobbies don't like it because they would lose all of what they're lobbying for, right? Yeah. I mean, aren't there like a million lobbies who are lobbying for their loopholes? And then if you don't have loopholes, you just have a flat tax, then you put off a lot of lobbyists out of business.
Well, I think it would destroy charitable giving, and I think it would cripple the mortgage lending. I mean, nobody would get a tax write-off for that anymore. So incentive.
It ends up being the ATM fee thing. If you go to the bank, you pay $3 to take money out of an ATM, for example, and it's always $3 no matter how much you take out. If you can afford to take out $300, that affects you way less. If you can't, if you only have $30 in the bank, it's a huge hit on you. And if you have a 15% tax rate, let's say, across the board for everybody, if you have $1 million, 15% isn't a huge effect to you. But if you have $12,000 or $28,000 or $30,000, then that 15% is a huge, and it ends up affecting your life in a practical sense more so than
good
it
analogy,
does rich.
Good analogy. ATM
That's
analogy.
Why.
Good analogy. Christine,
right.
What a
smart one.
Smart one. We keep hearing about a double dip, which, if you're at Pinkberry, sounds delicious.
Yeah.
So they have peanut butter, right? You know what I'm saying? With that peanut butter crunch.
I like my double dip with chocolate and vanilla, but the double dip we're talking about. You know, look, I'm going to tell you something. The economist surveys have basically been wrong for like 6 years. You know, they told us that the subprime wasn't going to hurt the overall housing market. The housing market wouldn't hurt the overall economy. We wouldn't have a recession in the first place, and we did. Financial crisis. They told us that jobs would come back like they have, you know, on record, which is, you know, 12 months after the end of a recession. Yeah, that hasn't happened either. I mean, I just don't know what to think, and I think that Europe is the big wild card. And I am worried that the economy, even if it isn't a double dip, you guys, it's slow enough that it doesn't feel good. I'm worried about income inequality. I mean, I don't want to depress your viewers so early in the morning, I'm worried about income inequality. I'm worried about all of this stuff, you know? I'm worried that we're turning into a country where people are just trying to protect what they've got.
Well, and, you know, you look at the president's poll numbers, and they always say it's the economy stupid. But, you know, as even you're saying, when the president is unable to do anything politically because of this Republican Congress. I mean,
you say that, but have you read this Ron Suskin book?
And 80% of the hearsay nonsense that's made up in it, that even the people involved in the story literally went, I never said anything like that.
I don't know. It paints a picture. I mean, you guys try to blame the Republicans, and I'm not giving anybody an out here, but I'm just saying that, I mean, it paints a picture of sort of this bumbling administration that couldn't kind of get it together in the very early going.
Right.
But
and
on the other hand, we've never seen anything like this. So it's
here's, you can take the Suskin book as the point, or you can look at actually bills put in by the administration and the Democrats versus bills put in by the Republicans, compare them at face value on what their goal is as far as job growth or any other, and compare them to
past policies that have worked or haven't worked, and you will find,
and it's hard to
unequivocally, right, that the Republicans are running an obstructionist game, don't care if the economy fails in the short term, thinking it will give them the presidency and the Senate in the next round.
And I mean, how do you, Christine, it's a little hard to square sexism with, you know, two female Supreme Court justices, a female Secretary of State,
right,
at Lilly Ledbetter.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go on and on. Yeah. It just, you kind of go, okay.
Yeah.
And didn't Christine Romer say, I never said anything,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
That.
Yeah. She's like, that doesn't sound like anything I would say, and why would I? And
every time I hear somebody say Christina Romer, I step straight because I think they're talking to me.
You flinch, right? But in all honesty,
I'm late for my job at the White House. What?
I genuinely mean this in regard to, if you want to go, we can go on story and how, right, these people act in public or conduct their policy statements. But if you look at note for note, bill for bill, what each party is delivering, it is there's no parity on the Republican side at all in job creation, in economic policy, in any of it. I mean,
here's something, Hal. Do you think we're expecting to? Do you think that we're wrongly thinking that Congress and the president can fix it?
Well, I absolutely believe that there's an element, especially with American manufacturing, that we have moved into automation has eliminated a good portion of manufacturing jobs that happened to exist 25 years ago. They're just gone. And it's not just jobs moving overseas. It's improvement in technology that has eliminated a form of job that is just not there anymore. And we're moving in that direction on almost all fronts. So it's squeezing the job market in a technological front. Anyways,
technology doesn't account for all of it.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, Christine,
technology replaced a job on the factory floor, but the factory floor was still here, and there was something else higher,
sure,
skilled that came in its place. When you move the whole factory floor with the good technology, then you got nothing.
I totally agree, I think they're paired together. I think that's one of the things that we don't talk about in the conversation.
I think we're running out of time, Christine, but I think the point Hal and I are trying to make, just politically, is just even from my dad in Goldwater's day, just this Republican Party, I just think is provably intransigent. I mean, as you look back even to, as people make the analogy about Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, at least they tried to work together on something.
How can one-third of one-half of one-third of government be to blame for everything?
Well, because you can't get, how can he get this through Congress, obviously, if the Republicans control the House?
Because
it just shows you sort of the scope of the Tea Party when you think about it. You know, one-third of one-half of one-third of government. It's just interesting.
I know. It's
ridiculous. I mean, Jim DeMint is literally saying no bill gets to the floor of the Senate without his approval. It's a single senator from one state being able to run. I mean, that's a policy problem, but that's also a methodology problem in the Senate.
Well, we've got 9.1% unemployment. We've got a budget. We've got a deficit. National debt is going to approach $15 trillion. I mean, it's just like we don't have 14 months. I mean, I'll quote the president. We don't have 14 months to wait.
That's
for
right.
Something.
Christine Romans, we didn't pull you into the mud pit, but we muddied you up a little bit, and that's good enough for me. Christine
She's already
Romans.
Muddied. I wrote the foreword to her book. So,
Stephanie Miller and Christine Romans.
Author of Smart as the New Rich and from CNN. Thanks, Christine. Talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
I'm happy with that. All right, 47 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Really?
Welcome
to you. Mm-hmm. Coming back from break to Nugent music?
Yeah. He's the only rocker that's ever flipped me off on national television. So
All right.
Give him a little shout out every now and again. 1-800-STEPH-12.
I think
you're number one too, Ted.
He does that nearly with nearly every woman he sees, I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Speaking of our favorite wacky right wing characters, it's Art from Chicago, everybody.
Hi,
Art.
Good morning. How are you? Love to hear your voice.
Me too. You.
Yeah.
Art.
Listen, I don't remember her name, but the congresswoman from Ohio,
Marcy Kaptur.
How long was she in office? Why aren't the Democrats in charge of the White House, the Senate, and the Congress? Mm-hmm. They were in charge for 2.5 years.
Mm.
We didn't take over till 2010, late 2010,
uh-huh.
And you're blaming it on the Republicans all good.
Well, when you look at the chart,
all the problems we got.
Art, if you actually look at the chart of job growth up until 2010, until the they started. They had a hold of the purse strings.
Well, wait,
it actually arced down right after the Republicans took over in January.
Bush. I'm not defending Bush whatsoever.
No, I'm talking about this new batch, the guys you voted for in 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys. This country didn't get downgraded in the first 2 years of the Obama administration. They got downgraded because of policies instituted by this group of Republicans.
Baloney.
Baloney? Why do you think they call it the Tea Party downgrade?
Explain to me, Art, how what I said is baloney.
Hey, you guys were in office for 2.5 years and you couldn't pass.
We didn't get downgraded during that time, and job growth was improving.
Come on, how would we stop anything? Oh, by the way, I got a nice little poem.
How would you stop anything? Congress runs
Art's poem. I want to. You have a poem for the president?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if you don't have facts or anything interesting to say, a poem will work.
Humpty Dumpty had a great fall.
Uh-huh.
All the king horses and all the king men and all the progressive couldn't put them back together again. Uh-huh. By Cracky.
By Cracky. Oh, there you go.
There you go, Art.
Well, that's his signature piece.
Yeah.
By Cracky.
And it's very Republican in the fact that it's completely plagiarized
and
ruined
yes.
in the end.
Mm-hmm.
With nonsense. Well done, Art.
I just picture him penciling that out this morning.
Let it be
on his
said
breakfast napkin.
That I respect. I believe in respecting your elders, just not all of them. Art, you're a crackpot, and you're full of beans.
He's a cracky pot.
I don't care. He can be as cute as he wants, but he's full of beans.
Dear Mr. President, there are too many states these days. Please eliminate three.
Alphabetical order.
All right. So, Christy, speaking of by cracky, Christine Romans brought up that Susquehanna book, which as you say, there's a lot of malarkey.
Yeah,
we're gonna speak Art for the rest of the morning now.
Mm-hmm. Right, cracky, it's a lot of malarkey.
But if you just get
the president's carny.
What we know is that very simple things, facts that could be ascertained, dates, titles, statistics, quotes are wrong in this book. So I think that, in fact, one passage seems to be lifted almost entirely from Wikipedia in the book.
Which is a trusted source. Absolutely. Just look at Sarah Palin's Wikipedia page.
Find out about Paul Revere.
Yeah, I think the George Washington Wikipedia page now says that Sarah Palin is reincarnated from the paddle he used to cross the Potomac.
Tim Geithner on the book as well.
The reality I lived, we all lived together, bears no relation to the sad little stories I heard reported from that book.
Sad little stories.
Right, yeah. But that's I don't care what you think, whether or not you believe the Susquehanna book or not. But look at the bills put into play by Republicans versus Democrats. Look at the actual content of those bills, what they actually seek to do. And you've got 1,000 anti-abortion bills and zero job bills. And the only thing they put in as job growth bills is eliminating taxation on wealthy people, which they've had in place, making sure the Bush tax cuts, since they've been in place, have done nothing but lower job growth. That's been the point of it.
That's why they're the job creators. Permanent poverty.
The one thing that Hal Sparks and I continually try to tell you is don't panic. For God's sake, stop panicking. Don't ask, don't tell, never get done. The president's going to care. Okay, never mind. It's done now. James Carville said to hit the panic button last week. James Carville now says, cancel that. The president's never going to get it right on jobs. Okay, all right, never mind.
James Carville looks like a Jeff Dunham puppet. And that's not a compliment.
All right. As we've said on issue after issue, remember in Libya, he's doing it wrong. The president's screwing it wrong. All right.
This is how the international community should work in the 21st century. More nations bearing the responsibility and the costs of meeting global challenges. In fact, this is the very purpose of this United Nations.
Yeah, go figure.
He's handling the Iranian thing all wrong. Those hikers are never going to... Okay, never mind. They're out.
Morons who conflate ethically and politically what the president did in Libya with Bush going into Iraq.
Yeah.
Literally, a war of choice where with boots on the ground and all but
and
a permanent
all know,
occupation.
The way George Bush got bin Laden, much better than the way President Obama got
you mean by ignoring him and letting him go,
yes.
actually?
It was really his victory.
You mean by his dad having breakfast with bin Laden?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Uncle on 9/11.
Right.
Flying out all the bin Laden family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 58
no other
minutes.
Planes flying.
No. Yeah, I don't really think about it much, except when I'm buying them plane tickets, get them a mileage upgrade.
I'm on orbits. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. It's Hump Days with Hal Sparks. HalSparks.com, the website. You can see Hal live at Flappers tomorrow night in Burbank, the Comedy Club. And then, of course, this Saturday down in Asheville, along with John Fugelsang and I for the Sexy Liberal Show, SexyLiberal.com.
As the sun goes down over the Great Smoky Mountains, what is there to do on a Saturday night? How about the Sexy Liberal Show?
Oh, that's good. I won't let you in the way we go.
Saturday, September 24th, Stephanie Miller and the Sexy Liberal Tour make it to Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah, how do we know they ain't making it so they can laugh at us?
Stephanie Miller, John Fugelsang, and Hal Sparks.
Well, what would they laugh at, Floyd?
Bringing sexy back to North Carolina and the Blue Ridge Parkway. It's the Sexy Liberal Show, Saturday, September 24th at the Asheville Civic Center.
It's dance time in Mayberry tonight.
Tickets available now at Ticketmaster.com.
The next stop is Asheville, North Carolina, boyhood home of novelist Thomas Wolfe, who famously wrote, "You can't go home again."
Yes, I'm going to Carolina in my mind.
Come join the Sexy Liberal Show Saturday, September 24th at the Asheville Civic Center, Asheville, North Carolina.
Aye, thank you, Mike. And Mike will be there, Mike and Raleigh.
Going to Carolina.
You can't get enough of it. Come on.
Your band covers that
song. It's
the
best way to go, actually.
All right. Representative Diana DeGette, one of our very personal favorites, joins us now. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. It's so good to be with you again.
And nice to have you again. Well, obviously everybody's been talking about the president's great speech and, you know, what I think is a great plan. What are the logistics of what happens next? I mean, I know he's taken his, you know, the message to the people. Obviously the polls are showing the people are with him on it. Now what?
Well,
Now what happens in the trenches?
So what has to happen, I think, is the people have to call their members of Congress and tell them, support this well-rounded plan that both works on deficit reduction and job creation. This summer was a nightmare for all of us here in Washington because the Tea Party, who is now controlling the Republican Party in the House of Representatives, they didn't learn the word negotiate from their moms, I don't think. And
they
so,
learned just tantrum, that's all.
Yeah, they learned how to throw tantrums, and I guess they got what they wanted when they threw those tantrums, because that's what they did this summer. And the only thing I can think of is that the voters of this country need to call their members of Congress, both parties, and say, okay, sit down and buck up and pass a plan that does all of these things and does it in a way that calls for shared sacrifice for everybody, that doesn't just say to middle class and lower class Americans, okay, you have to bear the burden here while the rich continue to have huge tax cuts and to be able to continue their lifestyles. That's not the way we do things in America, and that's what the president's trying to say.
Well, you know, and again, I think that he said it, but I guess you can't say it enough, that these are not tax increases. These were the Bush tax cuts that were supposed to sunset, right?
Well,
that were designed
exactly
to expire.
Right. Here's what happened. In the spring of 2001, before 9/11, before the two wars that were funded off budget, before the recession, President Bush and the Republican Congress passed tax cuts for everybody. And what we're saying is, you know, the economy's different now. It's a different time. So let's rescind those tax cuts. Let's just not continue those tax cuts for the people who make $1 million or more. That seems reasonable to me.
Well, I mean, here's what I don't sort of get is, you know, obviously you've been watching, I'm sure, this, you know, the Republican candidates for president, these debates, all of that. It just seems to me they want to keep trying these ideas that either haven't worked or have been rejected by the American people. I mean, Rick Perry obviously is getting all the press for calling Social Security an unconstitutional Ponzi scheme.
Right.
He's even suggested letting individual states secede from Social Security altogether. But, you know, the problem is because he happens to be the most extreme, you don't realize that all of the other contenders basically embrace privatization, which was so roundly rejected under George W. Bush, right? And would have been a disaster had we done it.
And the House of Representatives in the U.S. Congress has voted twice. The Republican majority has voted twice to privatize Social Security this year. So this is what they all think. And I will differ with you a little bit. I don't think Rick Perry is the most extreme of all of them. I think they all agree with this. And
right.
What they really think is they really think that if you cut taxes for people who make over $1 million and for large corporations, that will somehow trickle down and stimulate job growth. Unfortunately, that plan has been tried by the Republicans over the last 25 years, and it's never proven to work.
You know, the president said the American people don't have 14 months. I hate to ask, but are they going to have to wait 14 months? Are we going to be able to, is this the conversation changing at all? Are we going to actually be able to get anything done or not?
Well, I agree with the president. We don't have 14 months to wait. We've already been waiting too long. And what I think is, even though the Republicans have painted themselves into a corner because they said they are not going to agree to any plan that increases revenue. So basically what they want to do is put the burden on the middle class to have cuts to Social Security and Medicare, to have other kinds of cuts. And what we're saying is we are in such a hole, you can't do this without increasing revenue. So why not simply not continue the tax cuts for people making over $1 million? What I think is if the voters, if the American citizens put pressure on their members of Congress, we could get this done sooner. But otherwise, we're just going to have to wait till the election. You know, ultimately in this country, we're a democracy and the voters speak.
And you know
whether
what?
They want this or not.
And Representative, I got to tell you, I actually, you know, from my time in the trenches, whether it's on the phones or out there, you know, doing my show, there is a new, after the president's speech, there's some new energy out there. And I agree with you. I absolutely, good advice, call your, you know, your congresspeople and don't get dispirited because, you know, the president obviously isn't. So thank you so much. And we always love visiting with you from the great state of Colorado, Representative Diana DeGette. Thanks so much, Congressman.
Thanks, Stephanie, and I'll see you soon.
All right, we'll see you soon. From Denver, City by the Bay.
It used to be that if you want, you know, like we obviously have Feinstein and Boxer in our area where we're here in California, and so calling them not as necessary. They're
right.
on the team.
Right.
They're ready to support
Paul
this.
All Republicans, yeah.
Yeah, the other thing is, and they used to call them up and go, well, you're not in my district. What do I care? Well, thanks to Citizens United, anybody's money can flow anywhere.
Right.
And you can actually tell them, I'm going to support your challenger from another state because of what you're doing. And as is everybody I know.
Yeah.
So they're actually.
Don't you love how they always lie about the calls to their offices too? Like the polls will show, like
everybody's
you know,
telling me
101% of the people don't want Medicare touched. Don't want which people to pay their taxes. People call my office. Overwhelmingly, like somehow for some reason, only the 1% of the people. That
I
are,
had a guy in an iron lung who'd had his voice box removed. Twitter me that he wants. All he cares about is the repeal of Obamacare, even though they would eliminate his insurance and kill him.
I think politically, Republicans have painted themselves into a corner in Boner's case, an orange corner. An orange corner.
Right. Like painting the floor of an apartment. And
exactly.
You're just like,
and that paint commercial where he walks out tracking orange paint.
Yes. I should have thought
saying?
About this.
For Angie's List.
Right. Yes. Thank you. Type Stephanie in the box, won't you? You can email us off at stephaniemiller.com like Tommy did. Now we know what the what's in the calamari dipping sauce. You know, it was a science story about same-sex
squid. You really had to go
there. In the New York Times that I did earlier. And, you know, everybody has to be dirty about it. I obviously did it for
scientific
curiosity.
Yeah, of course.
Katie in Chicago writes, Staff, I'm clinging desperately to the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal for happy clappiness this morning against the pending Troy Davis execution, apathy sweeping the nation.
Yeah.
Hal, you were mentioning this earlier, that, you know, in a time when we're watching Republicans cheer the number of executions that... Rick Perry has had, despite the fact that at least one a father who lost his wife and kids in a fire and then got executed for it, and it turns out it wasn't arson.
Right.
I mean, now this
guy... happens all the time.
Yeah.
And you have to understand that Rick Perry's supporters, they interviewed some of them, and one of them actually said, it takes a lot of guts, to use a different word, to execute an innocent man.
Yes.
Because the point is, you got to be real, so law and order that you can't, I guess, make an omelet without killing an innocent person every so often. That's the...
And you were telling me this morning, I didn't realize it in the Troy Davis case, you know, obviously the testimony was racist. I mean, they basically said, you know, is he a bigger danger because he's black? And the testimony was yes.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that you said there's actually doubt about the actual guilt as well.
There's plenty of there's witnesses who recant. It's very it's strikingly similar to the case in Texas that there's in a rush to get somebody in jail and get the pressure off their backs, cops in these circumstances it looks like they went he's good for it, I like him for it, let's just get this and move on, and just strong armed and put pressure on people. They know we're teetering in the neighborhood on, we can pull you in on a warrant, you can tell me what you saw, that kind of thing.
Right.
And if what you saw isn't fitting with what I'm
saying. Right, and there's a lot of recanting going on in this case. And
And you're
going
to kill a guy tonight with that on your... And then you have Rick Perry shrugging off like, I sleep fine. Yeah, exactly. I don't know how as a Christian you sleep fine ever, even if the guy's guilty, because it goes against your religion. Even if you believe in a law and order thing, granted, I've often said this, but, Christians have to believe in capital punishment, because without it, they'd all be wearing little Kleenexes around their neck.
Rick Perry is a Christian because he says so.
As an American and as a Christian, I am going to stand with Israel.
Don't tell him the end part of the rapture.
Going to stand with Israel until they refuse to be Christianized, in which case they're all going to be dead.
Right.
You'll put them to death.
When the horses all gather on the hill of Armageddon, when
yes,
God's done.
I think they're missing that he's for the death penalty for Jews.
Yeah.
Right.
Behind Israel in theory.
Right before the rapture.
It has to be destroyed to bring Jesus back.
Let me finish up.
It has to exist to be destroyed. Don't you understand that?
Finish Fine American.
So illogical.
Katie from Chicago's email. She says, I must say I sincerely appreciate knowing that every day I can turn on your show for masturbating birds, rocket sperm shooting wildlife, and incestuous low-hand makeout stories. My favorite straight news, though, story on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell reveal from the New York Times. Mine was the gay squid, but okay.
Sure.
It seems the Marines are forging ahead with recruitment in the most physically fit sector of the population. See the link below for the full story. They're sending recruiters to gay centers, starting with Oklahoma. This, of course, has prompted a full-on musical daydream, complete with military uniforms, boots, and dancing. Oh, that is super. That's a very good idea. Hats off to the Marines. Our most elite fighting force. Quickly and appropriately, moving on.
Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
In this hat. Oh, yes, you do. Hugs and kisses to Max and Fred and their new kitty tormentors, Katie in Chicago. Thank you, Katie. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue more Hump Days with Hallett. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, someone wants to hear how Sparks talk about zombies.
What?
We'll ask him to do that next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No problem.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Do it. Do it.
What?
Come on. Do it.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
The bridge.
Yeah.
Why
is that confounded bridge?
Which I think is a sample of the collective soul.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
See, that just made its way across. You want to hit song?
Dear God, we forgot it was Guy Lafleur's birthday yesterday, Jim.
Zut
alors. Happy birthday, Guy Lafleur.
Sacre mère.
Mon Dieu.
Joyeux anniversaire.
Okay, we just like saying Guy Lafleur.
Guy Lafleur.
All right. Okay, that's
good. Jean Chrétien.
Do we?
All right. Bob breaks down on his...
You cretin.
Throw me down the stairs, my at you.
Okay, Bob Redstaff on his WCPT show on Saturday in Chicago, Hal Sparks spoke at length about the evolution of zombie movies and their relation to people's fears about certain groups, communists and poor people who are trying to take their lives and their stuff away from them.
Yes.
Brains.
I love zombie movies.
Yeah, well, you know,
Dawn of the Dead was awesome. Isn't that a zombie movie?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yes.
Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, Return of the Dead, 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Dead Girl is one of the freakiest ones ever. It's a zombie movie with one zombie in it, which is really messed up. It's one of the most screwed up movies I've ever seen in my life.
My new favorite movie thing, I love to watch movies with huge movie stars that are total crap movies. Like this weekend, I watched Night and Day with Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz. It was so awful. It was awesome.
The fight in the airplane where there's just nobody else in the airplane.
Oh, everyone dies. Okay.
And she just happens to be there. See, that's how it happened. Anyways, you can look at horror films as metaphor for where we are as a culture. And the early zombie movies were all a metaphor for communism. That the marching workers who will stand in line for toilet paper and they want to eat you because they want to take your life, your livelihood, what you...
Your brains. They just eat brains? All of you.
That was a later thing. Oh. They basically ate all flesh in the early ones, if you recall. Uh-huh. They chewed out your intestines and they ate your flesh. But the whole point was they want to take everything that's special about you and eat it. And
awesome.
Consume it and get rid of it. And it was that and Body Snatchers, those were all about the march of communism and the fear of communism. Now... zombie movies, because zombies run and puke blood on you, and it's contagious by infection as opposed to space or superstition. It's all about rioting poor people and AIDS. These are the two big panics of modern times that they use to motivate and scare people. And it's very useful in that front. A lot of our, if you look at the 80s, sexual freedom that was a sexual contraction. I want my sex stuff, but people should be punished for it. So everybody, if you're a virgin, you survive in the Friday the 13th
movies. By the way,
but if you have sex, you're dead. Right. But you get to have sex first, so they get to have the titillation part of the nudity, and yet followed immediately by murder.
Don't tell. Speaking of which, Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been overturned for one day, and you knew that this headline was going to boy brings crack pipe to show and tell. You knew that was going to happen.
Maybe that killed the birds.
Officials at a small Northwest Missouri elementary school said they were stunned when a kindergarten student brought his mom's crack pipe. Don't you hate that? Kids do the darndest things. And some drugs for show and tell. The teacher told police the boy had the pipe and several baggies of crack rocks. The drugs are worth $3,700. Kids.
$3,700 worth of crack? How did he carry it? If he's a kindergartner, you could pull your other... Aren't they like 35 cents a pop?
Oh, that's
scam. Isn't that the problem with crack? Is it's like $2 a hit?
Yeah.
Carly.
What do you do? Have a rolling suitcase?
I guess so.
Bring, you know what, kids? Let that be a lesson to you. Bring mom's lighter drugs. You know, weed weighs a lot
less. What point did they stop it? During show and tell, had he fired it up, or was he showing how to process it? Here's a bag of cocaine. This is how you cut it with baking powder.
Look, Carl's already laughing in Nashville. Hi, Carl. Go ahead.
Hi. Speaking of crack, was I the only person that kind of creeped out with Rick Perry yesterday?
I'm creeped out by him every day. What did he do specifically yesterday?
I'm here with my new Jewish friends. And me as a black person growing up in America, the irony of these right wingers does not escape me. The right wing nut job spent years for dinner terrorizing black people in this country, and then for dessert, they did a little terrorizing of Jewish synagogues and defacing.
Absolutely.
Yep, that's right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Funny, I never knew
Stephanie Miller
to be so much fun. All those lights go off and you just feel so good inside.
Yeah. Stephanie Miller.
It's great, no question about it.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. It's been a day? Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been overturned. And because what's her name? Who's Elaine Donnelly of the Center for Military Readiness?
Uh-huh.
She said, let's see, President Obama made a political promise to LGBT activists, and Defense Department appointees have created a shaky house of cards that's about to collapse.
Oh, yeah.
The military is nothing more than a big, shaky, gay house of cards.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, soldiers can take, they're trained to take on enemy, to have bullets flying past them,
yeah.
to show bravery on a level that most people can't even fathom. But if a gay guy's near them, they just freak out.
Yeah.
What if there's a lesbian who works in the canteen and I have to go by her every day when I need to buy a snack?
All right.
How about my homophobic panic's going to make my pancreas fold in half?
Exactly. Talk about it, folding pancreases, with Andrew Harmon of The Advocate. Good morning. The Washington correspondent, in fact, for The Advocate. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, Hal. Thanks
How
for
are you?
Yeah. Good. Don't these people just sound like such dinosaurs? It's just hilarious.
Well, I have to say, I am keeping at least one eye on the window for falling birds out
yes.
of the sky.
But, yes.
Right. Angry birds.
No unusual activity in Washington
yeah.
today.
She, this same woman said Congress has the right to review regulations defining the president's quote-unquote San Francisco military.
Wow.
It sounds really appealing to me.
Actually, yeah.
Well, hello. yeah. And she said the next president promised should resolve to take our military back. You know, from the gays, presumably.
To 1920.
I mean, it is really hilarious, though. I mean, pretty much all the Republican candidates are saying that, right? I mean, that they literally would put Don't Ask, Don't Tell back in place.
I think that is troubling. I don't know what the prospect of any, you know, political will to actually make that happen. I think they are quite possibly, you know, speaking to their base at this point. But it is certainly troubling, I think. To get repeal passed, advocates and their allies in Congress certainly had to crawl through barbed wire, and to you know to even contemplate the possibility that this would be overturned, I think is pretty ghastly.
I love just the logistics of it, of all the people having to pretend that they didn't hear people say they were gay. Before, when this happened. So just even how that would be enacted, I don't know. But it also would be going against what 70-something% of the American people's wishes.
The American public opinion, there, I mean, there's no question that they do favor open service, and I think once we see that that gay and lesbian service members can do their jobs and be proud and open about who they are, I think the support for open service will only increase in the future.
Andrew, I think the best thing, I mean, beyond all the really emotional, I thought, just touching, heartwarming, you know, videos and people we saw on television last night in terms of, you know, gay soldiers, I felt like the collective yawn, other than that, seems to be the best predicator of progress when this has actually happened. I mean, you know, we were talking about the one, is it a lieutenant that, you know, called his dad. And his dad just, okay, like, you know, here
cool.
he is. All right, cool.
I'm gonna go have
son.
A burger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought that a non-event would be so beautiful. I mean, clearly here in Washington, it was a very celebratory day. We didn't get a lot of news from military officials and, you know, politicians about some, you know, critical lingering questions about open service and about how to bring equal benefits to the greatest extent of the law to gay and lesbian service members. That's certainly still an open question, and it's not something that we got a lot of news on today. But
Andrew,
yeah, I think
are you well, let's just say concerned, you know, that if there is backlash. But the other thing is that, you know, the right wing and the media are going to use that as a storyline, like, oh, see, look what this is, you know, what if there's any incident anywhere, right?
Well, I think one of the things that we are, people who have been following this are certainly aware of, as well as advocates are, you know, the fact that there is no specific policy currently against harassment of gay and lesbian service members. Obviously, Secretary of Defense Panetta said yesterday that he will hold the, you know, armed services to the highest standards, and that includes gay service members, but at the same time, it's not written within military policy. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that advocates for these soldiers and troops would like to see.
Yeah, I think they're making the case a lot, though, that that unit cohesion rules cover everybody equally, and that anybody guilty of that kind of harassment of somebody because of their sexual orientation, since now it's open service, they don't need a secondary rule, they just need to enforce that on anybody, and anybody who violates that they're actually violating a much bigger law, which, you know, hopefully that's how they'll carry it out.
That's true, and I think one concern would be, and, you know, we'll see how this all plays out. I assume that there's bound to be some harassment in some areas of the military, but I think the fact that the way that you, that one would report such harassment, you would not go through the same channels as you would if it was harassment based on race, religion, you know, other factors. So mm-hmm. we'll see how it plays out, and we'll certainly be reporting it from this magazine.
Yeah, well, exactly. And as you say, I mean, as you imply, it's just like any other kind of bigotry. You know, the other thing is, I know that obviously it's been a big day and all of that, but, you know, the other thing I read in a lot of these stories, that the place we have to get to next, too, is that, you know, spouses and things like that have equal rights, because after all, these are people that are in, you know, are deployed, and, you know, the spouses really deserve the same kind of rights and benefits, don't they?
Oh, absolutely, and we've seen other federal agencies do whatever they can to, you know, extend benefits to partners, such as the State Department under Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, you know, really take a proactive stance on extending benefits to the extent that they can. Obviously, the Defense of Marriage Act is still in place, but it was interesting yesterday. I was at a press conference at the Capitol with six of the senators who were very instrumental in passing repeal, three, I believe, of which have not yet signed on to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act. Clearly that is, you know, is hurting gay service members and their families when it comes to, as you said, issues of housing, mm-hmm. of spousal independent benefits. So, you know, this is certainly not over yet. And I
some of the stories are heartbreaking. I mean, you know, most of us, you can only imagine in an ordinary relationship, when in you know, these people's relationships, their partner has been, you know, deployed, you know, risking life and limb, and then, you know, they come back and say, oh, here's my roommate or my family friend, my buddy, you know what I mean? It's just, it's the way these people have had to live with the service they've been providing for this country is really heartbreaking.
Absolutely. And the First Lady's office earlier this week sent me a statement saying that she is looking forward to working with gay and lesbian service members and their families in her. She has a national campaign called Joining Forces that advocates for military families. I'll be really interested to see how she actually incorporates the viewpoint of gay families within her program. I think that could be a very powerful platform, you know, for this issue.
And to that point, the president sort of famously in the last, I think it was about 6 weeks ago, made a very distinct point about the, you know, the unconstitutionality of DOMA and the importance of getting rid of it, which famously killed birds.
Yes.
You know, made you know, set a pestilence upon this country.
The
black ones.
Yeah, and made I guess Pat Robertson's heart slam shut like a briefcase.
Sure.
You know, this is, you know, quote unquote part of the president's evolution in this direction, and it's starting to look, if you look at how Don't Ask, Don't Tell has played out, as a game plan to sway a broader portion of America towards that evolution themselves. And it seems to be working if you look at the polls.
Well, yeah, I certainly think that, you know, compared to some of the rhetoric we've been seeing from some GOP candidates, I wouldn't say all, but some.
Carol Issa, sorry.
Excuse me. Bless you.
The deal that he struck, certainly that Obama has in terms of his position on marriage, certainly seems a lot more evolved. But I certainly know that advocates are waiting eagerly for him to take that last step and embrace marriage equality fully.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, Andrew, I know you're tired. You've been doing the circuit. A big day, but we always appreciate your time, and we will be checking in again soon.
Oh, it's great to speak to you. Thanks, guys.
You too. Yeah. Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Harmer. I'll be at
it. Yeah, the White House methodology heretofore PR-wise has been start the conversation, step back from it, and allow the American public to actually get out in front of the president, so it seems like he's playing catch-up. And you hear the complaint about it all the time, but it actually helps to enact the policy.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, you and I
if you just stand out there and go, I'm for gay rights and stuff, the people who are maybe on the fence a lot of times will back off and defend where they were before instead of evolving themselves, where if you go, I'm on the fence too, you're like, well, I'm on the fence, and maybe, you know what, if I really think about it, it's actually okay, and then they start to move ahead of you. It's actually a great way to, I mean, it's nothing short of, you know, almost hypnotism, you know.
The important thing is that Lily in Maine is really excited that Zombie Talk is back to talk radio. Lily in Maine, zombies,
hey,
zombies,
I'm
your thoughts?
I'm so jazzed for the Zombie Talk,
awesome.
I'll tell you what. There is this fabulous movie called Fido. And
yes.
Has anybody seen it?
Of course, yeah.
Oh,
the
awesome.
Pet zombie.
It's a chock-a-block full of social commentary, isn't
yeah.
it?
It's basically set in the 50s, and instead of the zombies eating everybody, they just get enslaved.
Well, my first movie ever was Chopper Chicks in Zombie Town, and it was a it was a spoof of 60s zombie and biker chick movies, and they combined the two.
Does it get better than that?
I don't think so.
Lily, is there any radio show in America today that has talked about zombies and squids?
Shooting
packets of sperm.
And P.S. Yeah, in that I play.
I just bought an iPod Touch so that I could play the baby monkey game.
Baby monkey riding backwards on a paper. All right,
it's now an app.
Life is good.
It's now an iPhone app.
All right, 45. Everything magical comes from this show.
I play a blind orphan with an Uzi in Chopper Chicks in Zombie Town, by the way.
Okay, that's weirdest.
So it wasn't the first movie you saw. It was the first movie you were in.
Yeah.
I got it. Okay.
That's even weirder than anything Edie McClurg has ever said. That's the weirdest thing that's been ever said on this show. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Right.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Hump Days with Hal Sparks, 50 minutes after the hour. Charlie in Asheville, North Carolina. Where the sexy liberals come on Saturday night. Along with Ruth Gordon.
Cesspool of sin.
Yeah, we're going to the cesspool of sin.
Thank you, Lord.
We're going to dive in and do the backstroke, my friend.
Excellent. I just want to say this bogus argument, the Alice Shrugged argument that Bill O'Reilly's been using.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Right? That
if we tax him too much, he'll quit.
I'm a performer myself. His vanity alone will never allow him to do that. It's an untapped natural resource.
Yeah, I know.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we could, you could probably power their imaginary city in that hollow mountaintop with his ego alone. That's the only time he'll ever quit and go Atlas Shrugged is when they've actually done that. We found a way to run the entire city off of his own self-involved chatter.
Yeah. And Charlie, if they did polling, probably everybody would be whatever tax rate it takes for him to quit. That's what everybody's for. What would it take exactly? Okay, bye-bye.
Let's tax him 75%.
Okay. All right. Wow. Here, this must be another side effect of Don't Ask, Don't Tell being overturned. Charlie Sheen is no longer, winning, apparently.
No?
Ashton Kutcher, 28 million people watched the debut of Ashton Kutcher on 2.5 Men. That's a 90% jump from last season's premiere.
That's the first time I've seen that show.
Yes.
I tuned it in just because of all the hubbub, and I see why I've never seen that show before. Well, it's just an unfunny show. I'm sorry.
Charlie Sheen was hit by subway train, apparently.
Yeah. and quote-unquote exploded like a bag of meat. That's what they said.
Yeah.
In
a little hostility from Chuck Lorre, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if it dips next week.
Oh, that's how they killed him off on the thing he was hit by.
Or pushed by a former girlfriend. We may never know.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Did you see he ran into Ashton Kutcher backstage at the Emmys?
Yeah.
Apparently they got along.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Charlie Sheen wished him well.
Uh-huh.
So... Charlie Sheen, for the past week, has been kind of classy.
You know
about
why? Because he got $25 million from Warner Brothers. That's how that turned out.
That'll calm you
now. Yeah. That'll teach you kids to stay away from the blow and the hookers.
For those of you watching CNN right now or not watching it, this just in. Netanyahu, I want to thank you, Mr. President, for standing with Israel.
What?
From personal experience, I can tell you that automatic majorities against Israel. But I think that standing your ground, taking this position of principle, which is also, I think, the right position to achieve peace, I think this is a badge of honor. And I want to thank you for wearing that badge of honor, and also to express my hope that others will follow your example, Mr. President.
Yeah, Rick Perry, talking to you.
How do you, at one point... is the president just going to bring...
He spoke so clearly for being under the bus.
Why can't the president... This is what I want. I want Rick Perry or Mitt Romney or anybody of these yahoos to be the, the Republican contender. And then during the debates, I want the president to just go, Well, I'd like to answer that, but instead, let's just go to the videotape. And then he could play a videotape of them saying their nonsense crap. And
like
then
show
a picture of him, a video clip of him with Netanyahu going, there's no greater ally to Israel than Barack Obama.
I would actually it would be good if Netanyahu now says, by the way, that Rick Perry is really kind of a right-wing Yahoo, isn't he?
Yeah, right.
What's up with that? By the way, I don't know if you watched the Emmys, but one thing I know for sure, Amy Poehler's hilarious. That was her idea, that whole little pageant thing where they all ran up, all the actress nominees ran up and, like, they held hands like they were in a pageant.
Mm-hmm.
And I've forgotten last year, because I love Emmy show pranks, last year she talked all of the nominees into donning goofy eyewear. Kristen Wiig had a monocle, Elizabeth Perkins wore Coke bottle glasses, and... Amy Poehler wore an eye patch.
It's like that story about...
I like pranks. I like...
Yeah, it's like that story about Marlon Brando apparently calling together Sean Penn and Robert De Niro and Christopher Walken and a bunch of them and just going,
play with fame. Mess around with it. Screw with everybody. Yeah. Just take fame and go crazy. Just do something they wouldn't expect.
You
make
know what,
movies
Joe,
they think
cut.
They'd laugh at you for. Wear funny clothes out in public. Mess with it.
You know, like he literally apparently gave them a directive on his deathbed to go act nutty.
Boy. You know what got cut from the Emmys? Alec Baldwin did a joke about the phone hacking scandal.
And the Emmys, of course, were being
Fox,
broadcast on
Fox. That's somehow they just, you know, for time, how they had to cut that, the phone hacking joke, I guess. All right, you know, with Don't Ask, Don't Tell being overturned, why didn't they have the nads to do it? Carson Kressley was supposed to have a male dance partner on Dancing with the Stars, but they pushed out. They considered giving him a male dance partner. In the end, he's paired with a female partner. He said, I'm glad in the end, though, because she will be much easier to lift over my head. That's true. Dude's heavier.
What are you talking about? You can find a male dancer that you can...
Sure.
It's in the right weight category. Vern
Troyer, you somebody, you know.
Richard Simmons.
Sure. No.
No. Richard's pretty heavy.
Is he?
Yeah,
he's short, though.
Yeah, he is, but he's dense. It's all those sweating of the oldies. There's no water weight. It's
he's
all
dense,
wiry. He's like an old piece of dry chicken.
Like all, you're absolutely
he's like,
right.
He's like human jerky.
Sparks.
Yeah. Yeah. They have to pour water on him every day just so he can move at this point. He's just sweating the oldies right out of
him. They have to rehydrate him.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, and Vern
like
Troyer,
King.
You know, little people, actually, because of bone density and other factors, are as heavy as their full-size counterparts and are really heavy in some cases.
Wow.
Like that. Yeah.
We have learned so much about same-sex
squid. I did a sketch with a little person on Talk Soup and where they wanted, oh, it'll be funny if you lift him up because everybody
and
thinks that's
like,
funny. He's like, he weighs 135 pounds.
They're dense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I weigh 165.
Right.
The guy is
right.
3 feet shorter than me. And weighs almost the same as me. So I'm just saying
they're almost as dense as squid sperm. We don't we know this, but
packets.
Somehow on the yes, they squid have they shoot packets.
Of sperm.
Yeah, which, for those of you that weren't with us in the beginning
of the New York Times.
In the very beginning
see
of the
if I'm
show.
Lying.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
David Hasselhoff's girlfriend has rejected 2 marriage proposals thus far.
From who? From Danny Bonaducci and Steven Seagal. Right.
Kitchen floor. All right.
Every time they go out, it's really embarrassing. Hey, obviously you're with Hasselhoff, so your standards are incredibly low. But what do you think about hooking up? Is that how you pick somebody up? You just go, wow, you're really with a loser. You want to...
What
I mean,
do you say?
Hey, he's standing right here. He can hear you. Yeah, so?
Mm-hmm. He's Hasselhoff.
Yeah, right. I have video of him. Look, you want to see the video on my phone of him eating a burger and puking on his kid?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Hey, guess what? The blue may be off the Perry Rose. Mitt Romney narrows Rick Perry's lead from double digits to 7% in a new poll.
Wow.
On the heel. On the Tea Party debate. Yeah, not so much with the Social Security thing. Prior to the debate, he had a 18-point lead. In the Zogby poll taken through September 12, Perry led Romney by an enormous margin of 32% to 14. In the first national poll taken since the debate, the lead has slipped 31-24. Key difference in the polls is that the more recent one didn't include Sarah Palin. Given a choice between Romney and Perry, you might think Palin's supporters would go with the Tea Party or to Bachman, who is barely polling above the margin of error.
Oh, bless her heart.
Bless her heart. Romney's gains seem to show the Republican primary voters are now beginning to face reality. They illustrate concerns about Perry's electability.
Yeah. You mean with their own voters? Those rascal scooter riding, take your hands off my government Medicare?
I love whoever wrote this. Ideological purity is nice, but when you're taking on a $1 billion mothership, you need more than Randy Quaid and a crop duster. That's explaining Rick Perry. he might have been a little flavor in the
month. That's mean to Randy Quaid.
Yeah. I know. Sorry, Randy Quaid. And you too, Ibby.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Hal Sparks, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor, Hal Flappers tomorrow night.
Flappers tomorrow night in Burbank.
Yeah.
One night only. And that's great. And we're in Asheville.
Asheville, North Carolina, Saturday.
Sexy Liberal.
For Sexy Liberal. All right, we'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.